what I'm going to do, I know that when you hit secondary school, okay, because I found this as well, when you hit secondary school, you suddenly know everything. Okay, that's what happened to me. And it took me about 10 years to realize that that wasn't true. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put something up on the screen. Okay, and I want you to take a look at it. You're only going to get 10 seconds. You're not allowed to talk to the person beside you. And I want you to count how many letter Fs are in this sentence. Okay, 10 seconds, that's it. And I want everyone to do it. Okay, not just the young people. But take a look at the sentence. 10 seconds, how many letter Fs? You ready? Okay, just by show of hands, don't be talking, don't be saying anything. Who got one? Hands up if you can only count at one. Good, that's a good start. Hands up with two. Right, now be honest, three. Hands up. Quite a few there have three, okay. Quite a few threes. Four, anybody with four? There's a four. Any fives? Few fives, good. We're nearly covered, everybody. Anybody get six? A couple. Not many, but a few. Anybody more than six? There's a few there. Okay, there's a couple. Well, let's have a look, okay? Very quickly, we'll go through this again. And just remember how many you got. So, Fs, number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number, have I left one out? Five. And number six. So anybody who got a six, well done. But the whole thing there is most people, when you take a look at that, most, I would say, were sort of in and around three or four. Not, there was a few very smart people who got six. But the whole idea is, I'm not really talking about this tonight, but the whole idea is that it's very, very easy to miss out. It's very, very easy to overlook things or to miss out on something. And the reason I put that up there tonight, because I want us all, okay, all of us, to really think about what's going to be said tonight. I don't want anybody to miss out. Now, I don't want you to worry about me. It's not about me. It's not about what I say. But tonight, I don't want you, I don't want anybody to miss out on what God might say. Because that's the important bit. You know, you've been up here. You've been singing. It's great. The verses you've been reading, the things you've been saying about what you've been learning over the year, absolutely fantastic. So for the next few minutes, don't miss out. Just forget about what's going to go on tomorrow or the rest of the week or what's gone on last week and just think about what God might want to say to you tonight. And that's for us all. But what I want to talk about tonight is this. Famous last words. Okay, the last words that the people said just before they died. Their last words. Okay, and if we have any history teachers or any English teachers here tonight, they're going to be able to help us. Because I'm going to put up some of these last words and I want you to see if you can tell me who you think said them. Okay, really, really easy. Here's the first one now. This is probably one of the harder ones. This isn't in English, but it's this. A tu Brute. It's in Latin. Any ideas who may have said that? Anybody can answer this, not just for the young people. Anybody? Yep. Julius Caesar. What, English teacher? History? just very smart. Okay, A tu Brute are the last words of Julius Caesar, the Roman Emperor Julius Caesar. And on the 15th of March, 44 BC, so almost 2,000 years ago, Julius Caesar walked into his government and he was going to conduct his business as usual when suddenly a group of his senators, nearly all of his senators, all of the people who helped him, all of his counselors, if you like, they rushed forward and they attacked him. They attacked him just before he was about to speak. And one of the senators involved was Julius Caesar's closest friend, a man named Marcus Brutus. And if William Shakespeare, he wrote about this, and if he's to be trusted in this point, it was the very, very fact that Marcus Brutus, who was one of the last people to attack Julius Caesar, the fact that his closest friend had just attacked him led Caesar to say these words, A tu Brute. And in English, that can be translated as, even you, Brutus. Julius Caesar couldn't believe that his closest friend, the friend that he trusted, the friend that was always there for him, would be doing this to him. Even you, Brutus. His best friend had let him down, had hurt him in a big, big way. You know, I wonder tonight, How many of us, okay, young people, older people as well, how many of us know what it's like to be let down by a good friend? Because you see, that can happen. Our friends and sometimes even our family members can let us down. They can hurt us. And you know, sometimes they do it without even thinking about it. Sometimes they do it unintentionally. Sometimes they do it intentionally. But either way, it can really, really hurt us. And you know, friends and family can do that. We can do it to other people as well. Why? Well, because we're human beings. Because we're not perfect. I'm sure there's people here tonight, and you know what it's like to say these words, even you, my friend. Whenever that time happens, we can't believe it. We can't believe that that person could let us down. Okay, I want you to keep thinking about that. Hold that, because we're going to come back to it. The next sin, next famous last words are these ones. Go away, I'm all right. Any ideas? This is a hard one, actually. I'll give you a clue. He was a famous author, okay, and he died in 1946, quite a while ago. I'll put it up. It's a really hard one. His name was H.G. Wells. Now, I know you mightn't have heard of him, but you're going to recognize him when I tell you about some of his books. Because this man, H.G. Wells, was one of the very, very first science fiction writers. He was one of the people who wrote books like The Invisible Man and The Time Machine. In fact, he was one of the first people that ever wrote about time travel. And one of his most famous books is this one, War of the Worlds. And I'm sure you've maybe seen the film. A few years ago, there's a film, Tom Cruise, War of the Worlds. Well, it was this man, H.G. Wells, who wrote all about those. But in 1946, and this is true, as he lay on his deathbed, friends came round him, friends were talking to him. He looked at his friends and he said, go away, I'm all right. And then he died. That's actually what happened. And you know, we can think, well, that maybe is a bit of a funny thing to say on your deathbed. You know, why did he say that? I know we might think it's a funny thing to say, but really it's not that funny. Because I think this is the sort of thing, a bit like it, that so many of us, all of us, would do every single day. What am I talking about? Well, think about it. A friend comes up to you, and you're in school, and your friend says, what's wrong with you? I know there's something not right. What do we say a lot of the time? I'm all right. There's nothing wrong with me. I'll be okay. And you know, I think this is one of the biggest lies that we tell, even as Christians. People ask us, how are you doing? I'm all right. You know, that's not always the case. We're not always okay, but from time to time we do it. We put up a mask, we let on that everything's okay, even when inside things are far from okay. And you know, I believe tonight that one of the reasons God has given us the church, one of the reasons God has given you SM Live, one of the reasons God has given you SU in school, is so that you can share with each other. So that you can help each other, so that you can pray with each other. You see, God wants us, if you're a Christian here today, to share. He wants everyone. He wants us to share our problems and our difficulties. Now, I don't mean you have to share everything with everyone. Of course not. But it's so, so important, and it was mentioned over here earlier on, the importance of Christian friends. If you're a Christian young person, try to surround yourself with Christian friends. Now, all your friends don't have to be Christians. Of course they don't. Because you're going to need non-Christian friends so that you can make a difference in their lives. But try to get Christian friends beside you. Why? Well, so that you can share with each other. So that you can pray for each other. Get someone or a couple of people into your life that you can trust, that you can help. That's what God wants. And that's a really, really good thing to do. Go away, I'm all right. Sometimes we're not. And we're not, you know something? It's okay to say we're not. You know, the next time, maybe if you're not feeling great and someone comes along and says, are you okay? And maybe you don't want to say, well, maybe you can just say, you know, actually, I'm not okay, but could you pray for me? And maybe you could do the same for them as well. And God can do great things through that. Go away, I'm all right. You know, there's another man. We're going a bit more up to date, but still a while ago, 1980. Great year. That's when I was born. And these are the words that this man said. Just before he died, he said, please help me. I wonder if any of the grown-ups know this one. It was on the 8th of December, 1980. Go ahead. Exactly. John Lennon. You're thinking, who? But John Lennon, one of the founding members of the Beatles, okay? A big pop group. But John Lennon had just been shot. One of his fans who had been crazed, he shot John Lennon, and John Lennon was lying on the ground, and he said those three words just before he died: "Please help me." But you know something? It was too late. It was too late for anyone to help him. You know, look at the three phrases that are up there. Some of you know tonight what it's like to be let down by friends, even to be let down by family. We know what it's like to look okay on the outside, but yet it's not okay on the inside. And others, perhaps all of us, we all know what it's like to need help. But you know, I want to finish off. I want to tell you about one more man. And I want to tell you about some of the last words that he said. And these are just three words, but these are perhaps the most powerful words that have ever been said on this earth. And the last thing that, or one of the last things that this man said just before he died was, "It is finished." These words, as I'm sure you know it, were said by the Lord Jesus. Just three words: "It is finished." You see, just what we've been talking about, the Lord Jesus, he knew what it was like to be hurt and let down by friends. You see, we read in the Bible that Jesus was betrayed by one of his closest friends. And this friend handed him over to the Jewish leaders and then over to the Romans, where Jesus was taken and he was put before a court. He was given a false trial. He was declared guilty even when he was innocent. And what did most of his other friends and even family do? Well, they left him. They left him on his own. And the next day, Jesus was taken. He was beaten by those Roman soldiers. He was tortured. He was mocked. And he carried a cross through the city, where he was crucified just like a criminal. Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified like a criminal. And when it was on that cross, when he was on that cross, one of the last things he said were those three words: "It is finished." But what was Jesus talking about? Well, you see, when Jesus said "it is finished," he wasn't talking about his life. He wasn't saying his life was finished, because 3 days later, he rose again to prove that his life wasn't finished. But when Jesus said "it is finished," he was talking about the very thing that he came into this earth to do. You see, Jesus came into this earth to prove just how much he loved you. And he died on that cross to show us just how much he loves you. And that's the same for us all tonight. You see, whenever our friends and our family let us down, Jesus wants you to know, and he wants you to know tonight, that he is someone who will never, ever, ever let you down. He wants you to know that he is someone that you can trust completely. He is a friend who will never leave you. He wants you to know that he will always be with you. Jesus also wants you to know tonight that when you tell other people, "Go away, I'm okay," Jesus wants you to know that he knows how we really are. You see, he knows everything. Jesus is God. He is God the Son, and we cannot hide anything from him. He knows everything about us, and he knows exactly how we're feeling tonight. And you know something? He cares about that. Jesus cares for us. Jesus knows what it's like to be hurt, and he wants you to know tonight that he understands. He understands exactly what you're going through. We can't hide anything from him. And Jesus also wants you to know tonight that he can help you. He wants all of us here tonight to know that he can help us. That he understands us better than we understand ourselves. That he knows us better than we know ourselves. But yet, he still loves us. And there's nothing that any of us can do tonight to stop him from loving us. You see, Jesus came into this world to change your life. And Jesus came into this world so that you could have a life more amazing, more abundant than any other life. And you know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 10:10. I'm going to read it out. In John 10:10, it says this: "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But listen what Jesus said: I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus wants to give us life to the full. Now, I mentioned it this morning, that doesn't mean it will be the easiest life. It doesn't mean that once we become a Christian, a switch flicks and everything's okay. Everything's rosy, there's no problems. That's not true. But the truth is that when Jesus is with you,
it is a lot easier to go through those problems. And you know, I know there are young people and older people here tonight who know what I'm talking about. Because Jesus is with you. You've put your trust in him. Whether you were 4 years of age or even a bit older, he's with you and he's always been with you. That is a great, great promise that you can have tonight. But maybe there's someone here, and as yet tonight, you've never come to that point. You don't know Jesus with you because you've never put your trust in him. You've never taken that step of asking him for forgiveness, asking him to rescue you from your sin. Well, can I encourage you tonight? Don't be like John Lennon. Don't leave it until it's too late. Don't ask for help until it's too late. You see, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Take the first step, even tonight, and admit that you need help. That's the first step any of us can take. We need to admit that we need help. We need to be able to say to God, "God, please help me." You see, the Bible tells us we need help because of that very tiny word, sin. We all know what sin is. We could rhyme it off. Sin is anything that we do that disobeys God. Anything we think or say or do that's against him. But there's another way to look at it. Take that word sin and look at the very middle letter. That middle letter of sin is I. And really, that's what sin boils down to. It's whenever we try to do everything our way. When it's all about I. When it's all about me. Whenever we have no time for God and we just want to do things in our strength. When we go against God. And maybe you're thinking, well, so what? Why is that a problem? Well, again, you've heard it. You've heard it in SM Live. You've heard it, I'm sure, all year. It's a problem because sin keeps us and God, who is so perfect, who is so good, who can't allow sin near him or in his heaven, apart. That's why sin's a problem. It's not just because it ruins lives. It's not just because it leads to misery. It's because ultimately it keeps people away from God. And the first step anyone needs to make tonight is admit that they need help. Admit that sin is wrong and that you need God, and then simply trust in Jesus. Simply trust or believe that what Jesus has done on the cross is enough to forgive you for that sin. You see, tonight, it's all about Jesus. He took the punishment on that cross so that we don't have to. If we simply accept what he has done and trust in him as Savior. By trusting Jesus tonight, what you're saying is, I need you to bring me to God. I need you to bring me to God. I can't do it any other way or by myself. You know, once you do that, and for those who have, the great promise is that he has promised that he will never leave us and never forsake us. Hebrews 13:5 says that. It's a great wee promise, and you can use your hand. Jesus says, "I will never leave you." That's an amazing promise to have tonight. He will never leave us. You see, unlike other people who let us down, Jesus won't. He will never leave us. He will never let us down. And you know, he knows when we're not okay. He knows how we're really feeling, and he wants us to bring our burdens. He wants us to bring our cares to him. First in the Bible, 1 Peter 5:17, it tells us that. Cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. And he can help. He can help with everything. But the most important thing is that he can help with is our need of salvation. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was saying that everything had been done so that sinful people like me, sinful people like all of us, can have that sin forgiven and brought into a relationship with God and everything that brings. That's the best news you'll ever hear. But you know something? It's up to you to accept it. It's up to you to choose it. God is never going to force anyone to accept his gift of salvation. You see, I'll do this. Here's a gift, okay? Who wants it? Who wants it? Here it is. Here it is. So it's a gift. Anybody can have it here. So what's your name?
Joshua.
There you go, Joshua. Well done. You can take a wee seat. Thank you, Joshua. You see, what just happened there? Well, I offered a gift. Joshua got the gift. Why? Because he was the only one that came up to take it. But any of you could have had it. Any of you, if you had been coming up first before Joshua, he's glad you weren't, but you could have came up and you could have took it. Well, tonight, that's a bit like God's gift. Only God's gift is much, much more important. God's offering that gift tonight. If you haven't already taken it, I wonder, will you? Remember, he loves you. He sent his son to die on that cross for you. His son rose again. His son is in heaven tonight. And tonight, Jesus can be your savior if you ask him to be, trusting in him. I'm going to finish with a verse. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just," he was perfect, "for the unjust," we're not perfect. Why did he do that? So that he might bring us to God, if we put our faith and our trust in him, turning from our own way.